Gracious God and Heavenly Father, what a tremendous week. God, many of these young people have made some life-changing decisions, and God, I know that the moment that we walk out this door, the devil is going to be standing ready. Father, I've made decisions in my life this week, and I pray that you'd help me to keep them. I'm going to need some character. I'm going to need some diligence. I'm going to need some prayer. And God, I just pray that these young people, as we leave this week, would remember one another as they watch that video. Maybe look at their notes. Maybe wear that T-shirt that they would think back and think, oh yeah, I made a decision. God, I pray that some of these young men would rise up to be great preachers of the Word of God. These young ladies would be tremendous missionaries and Sunday school teachers and mothers and wives. And God, I just pray that you'd help these men that would just be a great church member and a deacon and usher, something that would serve the cause of Christ. Help them. Father, thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank you that he reaches beyond borders and nationalities and colors and race differences. And God, thank you that we can all gather here in this place. This really is a little taste of heaven. We're set apart this week for you. We love one another. And God, I pray that this would not leave us soon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can you hear me? Let me take just a moment to do a little audio test, would you? Can this side hear me? Yeah. Thank you. Can this side hear me? Yeah. Men, can you hear me? Yeah. Ladies, can you hear me? Yeah. Can you hear me in the back in the balcony? Yeah. Thank you, sir. How about the rest of you? Can you hear me? That's what happens when you backslide, young people, right there. You just, yes. Some of them with their last breath, yes. Can you all hear me?
Yeah.
Listen carefully. Now here's the big test. Will you hear me? I know you can hear me, but will you hear me? Some of you have been here this week and have made some great decisions and have grown in the Lord and left some things behind and are looking forward to some things. I have a growing concern that those who hear much preaching actually really hear little, if any, preaching. Do this for me. How many of you have been raised? Let's do this. Everyone stand up for just a moment, would you? Just stand for a moment. If you have lived in a Christian home less than 5 years, would you please be seated? If you've lived in a Christian home for less than 5 years, please be seated. If you have been saved for less than 5 years, be seated. If you attend a public school, be seated. The folks that are standing tonight have had a lot of preaching. I'm sure you're attending church regularly on a regular basis. If you live in a Christian home, you go to a Christian school, you have a good church, you're hearing a lot of preaching. Tonight, I'm preaching everyone because all of you are going to need this at some time, but those of you that are standing tonight are the ones that I want to really pay close attention to the preaching tonight. Because I fear sometimes that when you go to a Christian school and you've grown up in a Christian home and you go to a great church, you hear a lot of preaching. And I think there are times when we can kind of get numb to that preaching. We hear it, but we don't really hear it. You can all be seated. Thank you. Some of you came Monday and, man, you were excited. And Monday night we had preaching and it was great and you were, man, everybody was attentive. Tuesday was great. Tuesday morning, by Tuesday night, some people were starting to get a little drowsy. Wednesday, I mean, we're hearing a lot of preaching now. Wednesday morning, Wednesday night, two times, that's 10 times. God and me time. Your counselors are talking with you. You're talking in the cabin. And we've now come to Friday night. We've had a lot of preaching. We've had a lot of scripture memorization. We've had a lot of God and me time. We've had a lot of counsel time. I wonder how much Did you really hear of all that's been said this week? The answer lies in where you will be 1 week from now, 1 month from now, 6 months from now, and where you'll be next year when you come back. Some of you have had enough preaching that you've moved beyond the stage of just being a new Christian. I can kind of understand a new Christian being kind of overwhelmed and maybe, you know, a lot of things coming at him and not being able to grab it all. But some of you had some preaching that, I mean, over the years, you've learned preaching. You've learned what God's Word says. And sometimes I think we get a little maybe overburdened. It's all good for us and we need it. But I think in our minds we think, and in our hearts we think, you know, it's too much. My kids are great kids, and they love the Lord, and they've grown up a Christian home. They were homeschooled. They didn't go to Christian school, but they were homeschooled, and they went to Christian college, and they've gone to camp. And I ask them, I say, kids, just tell me a little bit, as a teenager, tell me about teenagers. I want to keep, you know, in touch with kids. And this is what they'll often say to me, Dad, we get almost too much preaching. You can't absorb it all. You can't remember it all. Some of the messages you've heard this week, you'll remember bits and pieces and some of the titles. And I really do try to pick things like, you're not a loser, you're a... You're going to remember that for a long time. It's something different. It's you know, it's catching. And I try to give you things that will be that way. You're going to remember special things about this camp and some of those things. And so I realize you're not going to get everything, but we ought to get something. And my fear is that you might go to church and live in a Christian home and go to a Christian school and come to camp and get to a place in your life where you don't hear anymore. You won't hear anymore. It's a problem not uncommon in Christianity. So says our text. You see, that's not something that's just happened over the last few years or even something that's happened here. It's been happening for a long time. And because we know it's a problem, if we address it, maybe we can correct the problem in our own lives. Look with me, if you would, at Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. It says, of whom we have many things to say, talking about Melchizedek, and hard to be uttered. Now listen, I want you to underline this in your Bible. If you have a pen, if you don't, get it later. Seeing ye are dull of hearing. That's a great phrase. Ye are dull of hearing. For when for the times ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You're dull of hearing. I want to charge some of you this week. You're dull of hearing. When I preach, I like to look at people. I look at their eyes. I look at their actions. And I've got to tell you, some of you this week, I think, demonstrated that maybe you're dull of hearing. You're thinking, oh, man, we've already heard this. How many times do we have to hear about reading our Bible and prayer and loving our parents and not listening to the wrong music and how to dress and what not to look? How many times do we have to hear that? It's the same thing. Every camp, it's the same things. Youth conferences, same things. I asked my kids, I said, what do I need to preach to young people? And they said, Dad, in most meetings that we go to, the preachers always preach about your friends and parents and all of those things. They said, Dad, not many preachers preach to us about how to have a stronger Christian faith and walk. So I've tried to do that. I've given you some of those things this week, and I do touch on those other things because we always need that. I need that. I need to be reminded about what to listen to and what not to listen to and what to watch and what not to watch. I've got to guard myself against those things. So I'm going to give you a little bit of that. But I think I've given you enough this week that you can go home and really start and establish a great Christian walk. You can become that next level, that next generation Christian. But maybe tonight, maybe could you be dull of hearing? There's a hearing test here. Let's take it and see if we might need some hearing aid. Not hearing aids, but hearing aid. Number one, are you teaching or being taught? Are you teaching or being taught? A student who spends 16 years in school can be a teacher. If you start in kindergarten, go all the way through to, you say 12th grade. In Canada, we say grade 12. Just say a little bit different, but it's the same. It's 12 years of school. You start when you're six years old, 5 years old, and you finish when you're 17 or 18. And then if you're going to be a teacher, you're going to go on to 4 years of college or university, and you're going to become a teacher. So after about 16 years, you can become a teacher. We are ever learning, and most who teach get a greater degree to be a better teacher. They'll go on to get a bachelor's degree or maybe a master's degree or a PhD degree. And so they have that thirst and that desire to learn more to be able to give to other people, and they'll extend that. Some of you have been at least 16 years in church. If you've been 16 years in church or more, would you raise your hand? In fact, do this. Stand up for just a second. You've been in church 16 years or more. Take a look around. Take a look around. You may be seated. Some of you from birth have been in church. My kids from birth have been in our church, and my oldest has been there for 23 years. My son's been there for 21 years, and my daughter's been there for 18 years. You've heard messages on everything the Bible has to offer. With your pastor, if you go to Landmark or if you go to church like Landmark, boy, I'll tell you, you have been through the Bible backwards and forwards, up and down, every hidden little treasure or nugget that is buried in there. Pastor brings that out. He's done studies. He's done Bible studies. You've been to youth classes and heard about youth things. You've been to conferences. You've been to revivals. You've been to special meetings. You've heard all that really the Bible probably has to say, but there's always something new to find. But you've heard it. Some things you've heard multiple times. You've heard the story of Daniel in the lion's den 35 times. You've heard Jonah and the whale 40 times. You've heard don't smoke, don't drink, don't chew, don't go with the girls that do 100 times. You've heard it. And you come to a chapel service like this and you think, oh my goodness, here we go again. What new could he possibly give us? What could possibly be better than what we've already heard? What am I going to do with even more preaching? I've heard it all. But have you really heard it? Have you really heard it? I believe this passage indicates we can hear without listening. You know what that is? How many of you have been in the house and your mom has called to your dad, and your dad's doing something. He's watching television, or he's reading his newspaper, or he's doing something. And your mom says, honey, honey, honey. And your dad is like oblivious. How many of you have ever seen that in your house? You know he can hear, right? Because you can hear. But he doesn't respond. You know what? He can hear, but he's not listening. You've done that. You've sat in front of your Xbox, and you've been playing away, and man, you're engrossed in that thing. And your mom says, son, 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 son! What? I've been calling you for an hour. I didn't hear you. The whole neighborhood heard me. You heard, but you didn't listen. Girls, you get in front of that mirror, man, you're working it. No, that doesn't happen. No. You're doing something. Man, somebody calls, you hear, but you're not really listening. Some here may be dull of hearing because you tune out that which you don't want to hear. Let's be honest tonight. Aren't there times when your parents call and you know your dad's going to say, you need to cut the grass? And you sit in your room and pretend like you don't hear your dad. Don't you? Girls, you're upstairs in your room, and man, you're doing something, and your mom calls. You know it's supper time. You know she wants you to set the table. You know you have to peel the potatoes. You know that she wants you to vacuum. You know that she wants you to do the laundry. Oh, sweetie. She comes up the stairs, and you lay down on the bed, and you put your head down. And she, it's like I live there, isn't it? Bama. I've been to Bama. And she opens the door, and you think, oh, if she sees me maybe faking sleeping, she won't ask me to do it. And you lay there. Honey? Honey? And she closes the door, and you think, yes, I've done it. And then she flings the door open and says, get out of that bed and come out and do the, I know your mama. She said, come on, we're having supper. We're having chicken fingers. Fried chicken, collard greens. Some of you may be dull of hearing because you tune out that which you don't think you need to hear. I don't need to hear that. I'm a preacher's kid. I don't need to hear that. I'm a deacon's kid. I don't need to hear that. I've gone to church since I was born. I don't need to hear that because that's the sin of another person. I don't have that sin, so I don't need to hear that. And you become dull of hearing. Maybe because you refuse to hear it. You ought not date those unsaved boys. I'm not listening to that. You ought not dress that way. I'm not listening to that. You ought not say those kind of things. You ought not listen to that. I'm refusing that. I like it. I like what I'm doing. I like my life. I like the excitement. I don't want to give that up. I refuse to hear. And you put your fingers in your ears and say, I'm not going to listen to that. Now, you don't actually put your fingers in your ears, but you turn it off. You're dull of hearing. Think you know it, but let's put it to test. Some of you have heard more than enough that you ought to be teaching what you have heard to others through discipleship and teaching and preaching. Some of you ought to be teaching a lesson in your Sunday school. Some of you ought to be preaching in your youth group. You've heard enough preaching. You've had enough experience. You've got enough help. You ought to be the one standing up. But no, you want to sit there and have somebody else feed you. You want to have somebody else give you. I get tired sometimes of Christians that constantly want to have people do things for them. We don't like our welfare state where people just get given and given and given and given and they never have to work for it. Man, I'm all for work. I'm for hard work. I've seen you got some of you guys can work hard. I've seen you work hard out here this week. You ought to be working hard. But listen, I'm telling you, some of you ought to be saying, listen, I've been saved for 16 years. I've been going to church for 16 years. You might not have everything that you need right now, but I guarantee you, if you went to a pastor like Pastor Carter and said, Pastor Carter, I'm 16, 17 years of age, and I'd like to learn how to teach and preach. Is there anybody in the church that could help me? I don't think he'd refuse you. Pastor Carter, if I could work on a bus route, I would love to do that. I don't know what to do, but if you'll have somebody teach me, I'm telling you, you are at the prime of your life to learn and do those things. And some of you sit there week after week after week and have somebody spoon feed you. You don't need that anymore. You're dull of hearing. You're dull of hearing. The word dull signifies a person who walks heavily and makes little speed. It is here elegantly applied to those who are called to the Christian race, have the road laid down plain before them, how to proceed specified, and the blessings to be obtained enumerated, and yet make no exertions to get on, but are always learning and never able to come to a full knowledge of the truth. The dull of hearing know the Christian life. They see the path. They have the instruction. But man, they don't want to walk it. They're heavy-footed. You ever seen a kid that does this? You ever seen a kid do that? How many of you, it was you? That's what I thought. I don't want to. I don't want to. Boy, I'd like to get a hold of that kid for about 5 minutes, wouldn't you? Whew. My dad had an answer for that. It was called a licking. Whew, that was back in the day. I didn't do that but once. But some of you are on the Christian road, and you hear the preaching, and the preacher says, we need preachers, we need teachers, we need workers. I don't want to do that. I'm not going to. You're dull of hearing. Some of you, the preacher gets up every week, and please, we need help, we need help, we need help. I don't know a church that doesn't need more help. We need help. And you sit there and think, well, that's too bad. You've been taught the Bible. Your parents have taught you the Bible. Man, you've been hurt hearing the preaching, and you know the call of God. You know that we've got a commission. You know there's work to do, and yet you refuse. Why? Because you're dull of hearing. It's time for some of you to start getting involved and giving back what you've heard. There are some little kids. We've got some little kids here tonight. We've got two boys back here. You two boys stand up for me, would you please? Right there. Look at them guys. How old are you, tallest guy? Say it again loud. 11 years old. Is this your brother? How old's your brother? 9 years old. 11 or 9. Some of you could be teaching these boys the things of Jesus Christ. It might not even be in a class. You can be seated, boys. Thank you. It may not even be in a class. You know what you could do with those guys? You could say, hey, guys, I work on a bus route. Why don't you come and help me this Saturday? Do you know any 9 and 11-year-olds that we could go visit? Maybe you could say, hey, listen, why don't you sit with me in church? And I'll show you how we sit in church and show you how to find the books of the Bible. You could be teaching those guys those things. You got brothers and sisters that you could be teaching those things. Don't be dull of hearing. Here's the second part of the test. Are you drinking or eating? How long does it take for a baby to move from milk to meat? A few years. I mean, a baby, a little tiny baby here tonight, beautiful little baby. That little baby, she was over at the hall, and I said, hello, sweetie, how are you doing? And she went, ah. I said, does she hate Canadians? Do I stink? Her daddy said, she's hungry. Well, I'll tell you what, when a baby gets hungry, you better give that baby something to eat, because pretty soon, you got about 10 seconds, that baby's going to go ballistic. She's going to scream. She's a sweet little baby. Perfect little baby. She's got a sin nature like her father. But other than that, she's hungry. It's funny sitting in church. Our nursery's right at the back of our auditorium. And when we built our auditorium, we made a mistake. We should have put a lot farther away because it's so funny. When a baby starts crying in the nursery, every woman that has a baby turns. That might be my baby. My baby might be hungry. I've got to get to my baby. And it's amazing because that baby goes, and in the second cry, the mother knows that baby. The women all look, and half of them, you know, the rest of them turned away. One mother's glued. She's waiting for the nurse worker to come. Tell her, your baby's hungry. I said, can't you just give him the bottle? But after a while, that baby doesn't want milk anymore. They want food. They don't want the ground peas anymore either. Oh, terrible going in, worse coming out. How long have some of you been drinking from the messages of the teachers and preachers, happily drinking in the easier lessons and stories of God's word, refusing to dig deeper to find the heavier things of Christ? How long will you shut your ears to the call to live the victorious Christian life? Some of you are living the Christian life, but it's not the victorious Christian life. Because week after week after week and month after month, you've got to come forward and get it right and get it right and get it right. You just can't seem to have victory. I want you to know something tonight. When Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he gave us the victory. We've got the victory. All you've got to do is claim and live that victory. The problem is you can't get victory because you don't have enough character and you don't have enough stamina and you don't have enough want to live that victorious Christian life. Hey, man, listen, if you put your mind to something, you can do it. That was demonstrated here this week. Brother Poets, over and over again, wasn't it? Oh, man, some of you learned more verses this week than you've learned in a year. Why? For a package of M&Ms. How about so that we can win people to Christ? How about so that we can learn those verses and apply them to our lives so that next time that temptation comes around, we have victory? We can say no because the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Shut up, devil, get lost. I talk to the devil all the time. I hate him. I'll be driving in my car. He'll put some thought in my mind. I say, get out of here, devil. If I had the windows down on my car, man, people put me in a psychiatric hospital. Get out of here, devil. You dumb. I hate you. Get out of here. I talk to them that way. He hears me. I say, Jesus Christ, come and help me. Jesus, come and help me. Holy Spirit, come and help me. Boy, the devil runs away like a little girl. Reminds me of a few of the guys that were here this week in camp. Won't mention any names, but animal. So, TJ. Noah. I'm gonna get mugged when we leave here tonight. How long will you shut your ears to the call to live the fuller Christian life, the truly dedicated Christian life, the mature Christian life? Young people, some of you have your parents holding your hands. Come on, let's go to church. Come on, you got to go to school. Come on, you got to go to camp. Some of you ought to be saying, Mom and Dad, I'll see you later. I'm going to visitation. Mom and Dad, I'll catch you later. I'm going to church. Mom and Dad, I'm not going to bed just yet, but I'm going up to my room. I got to get in the Word of God. Mom and Dad, you can sell that Xbox. It's been a lot of fun, and there's really nothing wrong with it, but I'll tell you what, I just want to dedicate myself to studying the Bible a little deeper so that I can help Brother Potts in the youth class and do some preaching and teaching. Mom and Dad, listen, I know you got some movies to watch tonight, but I'm not going to watch that because I'm really trying to separate myself from the things of this world, and there's some stuff in that movie. It's rated PG-13 or higher, and I realize that that means that even the world knows there's some stuff in there I shouldn't watch, and so I'm not going to watch that tonight, Mom and Dad. I'm going to go up to my room, and I'm going to memorize some scripture, and Mom and Dad, I got to get a Sunday school lesson together. Some of you have been saved long enough. You ought to be doing those things, but you don't. Why? Because you're dull of hearing. You just don't get it. You don't get it. And people are trying and they're working and they're praying. Some of you hide behind the skirts of your mothers or wives. Wow. Well, I just get nervous in front of people. Get over it, man. Get over it. How come you can go on a basketball court, man? You can lay up threes. Man, you drive to that net, man, push that guy out of the way. Hey, anybody want to give a testimony? Hey, anybody want to go on visitation? Not me, man. I can't talk to people. I get nervous. Oh, man, you can get up there and play the piano when nobody's looking, and, man, you can play that thing like a professional, and as soon as somebody says, hey, we need someone to play the piano at the nursing home. I couldn't play in front of those people. Come on, kids. Some of you have been coddled so long. Some of your mamas have protected you so long. It's time to get out from behind that skirt. Some of you guys say, I need to preach the Word of God. I'm going to be scared to death. I'm scared to death. Man, if you saw what I'm looking at, you'd be scared too. Man, I get up and preach. Brother Carter's sitting there, I get scared to death. I think, God, I'm going to do it in the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to get out of the way. And God, I want you just to use me. And God, I'm going to be nervous. Would you calm those nerves and help me preach? Listen, if you don't get nervous, there's something wrong with you. If you don't get nervous when you go on visitation, there's something wrong with you. You don't get nervous standing in front of a group of 1 and 2 year old kids or 3 and 4 year old kids and giving them Bibles. You're going to be nervous. You don't want to mess up. But some of you need to get from behind that skirt. Some of you guys need to start being men. Start doing something for God. I don't care if you preach. Do something for God. Be the best bus mechanic your bus garage has ever had. Be the best usher your church has ever had. But get out and do something for God. Some of you need to get from behind the skirts of your moms or your wives. Some of you hide in the shadows of your dads. Your dad's the preacher. Your dad's the deacon. Your dad's a Sunday school teacher. And you think almost vicariously, well, I don't have to do it because my dad does it. And some of you think, nobody's really going to recognize me or nobody's going to know me or somebody's going to put me in the shadow of my father. You can't think that way. You're not your dad. You're you. You're not your mother. You're you. Some of you think, well, I can't sing because my mom sings in the church. And, man, she's got a beautiful voice. And if I get up and try and sing, I'm not going to sound like my mother or I'm not going to sound like that other lady. And so I'm just not going to sing. That's crazy. Do you think those people started out with a golden voice? You don't think they practice and practice and practice? You don't think that they get up and pray and say, God, help me to be able to minister to people? Some of you live in the legacy of your grandparents. My grandpa was a great preacher, and my grandma was a great lady of God, and that's good enough. It's time to answer your call to service. Now you think of this. Has God got a specific will for your lives? Yes or no? A specific will. He's got something just for you. Just for you. Young lady in the blue, beautiful blue top with the white polka dots. God has a specific will for you. And only you. Guys, specific will. Yellow shirt, specific will. Animal, specific will. What's his specific will for you? I don't know. How do you find it? Right here. Brother Pelz, what do you think God might have me to do? That's how you find out. Pastor, what do you think God might have me to do? What attributes do you see in my life? What fruit of the Spirit do you see that really comes out of my life? What do you think I could do? Brother Pelz, could I try some teaching? Could I try some preaching? Next year at camp, could I try being a counselor? I don't know everything, but if you'll help me, I'd like to try. That's how you find the specific will of God. Or could it be that you just can't hear the personal call because you're dull of hearing? The charge of our text seems to intimate that they had either not continued to hear or they had heard so carelessly that they were not profited by what they heard. Young people, listen to me. Some of you this week missed it. You blew it. You stayed up too late at night. You got concentrating on other things. You thought, I've heard it before. I don't really care. And God had a message for you. He had a call for you. He had an opportunity for you to come, and you blew it. Because you've heard so much preaching and so much teaching and so much church and so much at home that you thought, I don't really need anymore. And this was exactly what you needed. Some of you have had so much preaching, you've gotten a bellyache. You've been spoon-fed so long or had so much milk of God's word, you got a bellyache. Some of you have become satisfied with the easy and the supplied. Listen to me, hear this. It's time for some of you to put away the bottle feeding. It's time for some of you to start slicing the roast beef of righteousness up for others. Here's the final thing. Are you discerning or concerning? Last part of our text says, even those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Could there possibly be some here who, because of a lack of clear understanding, who have heard so much preaching, tuned out, turned off, and turned away what is good and right for that which is evil? Could some of you say, you know what? I've heard it and I just don't want it anymore. I've seen what that does. Maybe some of you have lived in a home, a preacher's home, a deacon's home. Maybe you've been and you've seen some of the situations. You've heard your dad get yelled at. You've heard your parents get ridiculed because of something they've done for Christ. You've heard people complain because Johnny didn't get a sucker and Susie did. And you're not a very good teacher and your parents have come home discouraged. And you think, man, if that's a Christian life, I don't want it. If that's the way people are going to treat people that serve the Lord, I don't want it. And maybe you've said, I'm not going to listen anymore. And you throw it all out. Maybe you've gotten to the place where you say, you know what, I'm just going to live the opposite life. You know what's really sad? They say the statistics of young people that are leaving the church today are higher than ever before. There are a growing number of young people say, you know what, I'm going to live the Christian life until I get out on my own. And once I get on my own, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm going to wear what I want. I'm going to watch what I want. I'm going to eat what I want. I'm going to go where I want. I'm going to do what I want because I'm sick and tired of being told. I've been told in the Christian school. I've been told in my Christian home. I've been told in my Christian church. And I want to go out and find out what's so fun in the world. I want to find out what it is that preachers don't want us to experience. Maybe there's something good out there that they're trying to keep from us. And you'll go out and you'll try it. And you'll come home someday and you'll say, Mom and Dad, I'm a mess. I'm a mess. I left home when I was 16 years of age. Went and lived with my grandma for 2 years. Biggest mistake of my life. I didn't want to hear my dad's rules. He said, you live in my house. You live under my roof. You're going to live by my rules. I said, I'm sick and tired of your rules. He said, you don't like the rules? Get out. I said, I'm getting out. And I went to my grandma's. My grandma had no rules. My grandma's the sweetest, kindest lady. I'm telling you the truth. After 2 years, I went home and I said, Dad, please give me some rules. Give me some direction. Give me some help. Show me something. Tell me what I'm doing wrong. I realized that in that two-year span that I had to make some great decisions in my life, and I didn't know what in the world I was going to do. And I went home and said, Mom and Dad, please forgive me. I learned very quickly that all the preaching I'd heard, and I was still going to church, and I was still doing the things of God, but I was wrong in my heart, and I had tuned some things out. And I didn't want to listen to my youth pastor who told me I was rebellious. I didn't want to listen to some of my other friends who told me I was rebellious. I just wanted to live that rebellious life just for a little bit and do what I want. And young people, I'm telling you tonight, it was a huge mistake. But I was dull of hearing. Maybe that you would justify your sins with scriptures. You've turned good to evil. Maybe that you would twist the words of the preacher to meet your sin. That you'd sit service after service unmoved by the word of God. Never go forth. Never listen to the invitation time. That you would squelch the voice of the Holy Spirit's call. Are you so dull of hearing that you can no longer hear the warning call of God? Oh, my friend, I plead with you. I plead with you to open wide your ears at every message, to beg to hear the message of God prepared for you, to answer God's every call, to put away any and all that might distract you from hearing that message. For there are times when God calls but once. Maybe one time to be saved. We had a young lady, beginning of the week, she raised her hand, I'm not saved. I don't believe she got saved this week. That breaks my heart. Because this may be the only chance that God will ever give you to get saved. You may drive home tonight and pass into eternity and never have the hope of eternal life. Your chance is gone. Some of you have heard it week after week after week and you've turned it down. No, no, no. Another time in my life. And God says, I'm sorry, that's it. Your time has passed. Maybe that call to run from sin, that call one time to flee youthful lusts. Maybe you'll reject that and run home and, man, get hooked up with that young woman or that young man. All of a sudden, bam, you've got a child on the way. Bam, you're hooked on those drugs. Bam, you're in the drunken scene. Bam, you're at a party and things go terribly wrong. That one time at camp when God said, this is your time. This is your time to hear. And you said, no, I just don't want it. I'm not going to listen. I'm dull of hearing. Maybe that one call to preach the gospel. I've had so many men come to me and say, I was at a camp as a kid, and God called me to preach, and I knew he did, and I ran from that call. And I know I was supposed to be a preacher. I know I was supposed to be on the mission field. I know I was supposed to marry that other girl. I know that God has something great for me, and now it's gone. And weep tears of sorrow because they were dull of hearing. Maybe to obtain that greater blessing. Young people, God's got some great things for you. Oh, listen to me. Great things. And if you're hearing be dull, you may very well miss those great things of God. Who now has heard and heard clearly from the Lord and needs to come and get saved. And your ears are open and you hear the call of God. Tonight, would you just not be dull of hearing one time? Would you maybe come tonight to surrender your life completely and say, God, whatever you'd have me to be, oh God, I'm ready tonight to open my heart and my mind and to your direction and leading. Oh God, tonight I completely surrender. I'm giving you my life. I know I've said it before, but tonight's the night. Maybe tonight to come and say, God, I surrender my life to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know if I can do it. I'm scared to death. I remember the night that I came forward as a 12-year-old boy in a preaching time just like this, and I said, God, I'd like to be used. I'm just going to leave myself open. And then when I turned about 16 years of age, I felt that God was calling me to be the youth pastor. And I thought, man, I could work with youth. I love it. It's exciting. It'd be a great thing. And then when I was 18, God called me to preach. And I tell you the truth, I was kind of sad because I thought, oh my goodness, I'm never going to get to work with young people like I wanted to. And I preached to more young people in my life than I ever would have as a youth pastor. God gave me the desire of my heart. I said, I don't know if I could pastor. I'm just a dumb kid from Canada. How in the world could I ever preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? And God says, you just keep working at it, boy. I'll start when you're young. And by the time you're 70 or 80 years of age, maybe you'll get it. I'm still working at it. Young people, maybe tonight to come forward and say, God, I'm going to truly repent. I know what my sin is, and I've played a game, and I've gone forward to kind of get some people off my back and maybe to get God off my back a little bit tonight. I really want to repent. Hey, guys, look up here for a minute, would you? We had a great meeting today. But you know what we didn't do? We haven't repented yet. In that meeting today, there were two guys that said, not me. Some of us need to come tonight and say, God, I'm turning away. I'm turning away. Girls, we had a great meeting the other day. And some of you came to a realization. There's some things. Have you repented? Repentance is I'm going this way, doing this, and I'm going to turn away. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not going that direction. I'm changing. Maybe tonight we need to come and say, hey, you know what? I heard a preacher. I heard it loud and clear. You know what I like about that meeting today, guys? You found out you're not alone. You found out you're not alone. You found out other guys struggle. You found out other guys have problems. And that kind of takes a little burden off, I think, to be able to come forward and say, God, I know I'm not alone, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to be alone if I have to. I'm going to stand. I'm turning away. I'm making a change. My life's going to be different tonight. And maybe some would say, you know what, I need to come and just say to God, I'm going to teach. I'll disciple. I'm tired of being fed and never giving it back. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Let's see. Heavenly Father, thank you for these great kids, this great week, this great camp, these great workers, for the movement of the Holy Spirit of God. God, this is our last chance to make an impact in their lives for this week. And God, I pray that the floodgates of the work of the Holy Spirit would come upon this place. We need to go home, but it's still early. We've got some things to do, but it's still early. And God, I pray that you'd allow the Holy Spirit to move in our hearts and lives tonight. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Did you hear me? How many tonight say, preacher? Every word you said hit me right between the eyes tonight. I want you to stand and come forward right now. Stand and come forward right now. Excuse yourself by those around you. That hit me right between the eyes. Man, the Holy Spirit, I don't know how he got to you, preacher, but that's me. I've been going to church so long. I've heard so many messages. That was right for me. Come on. Come on. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, this could be your very last opportunity in this life to be saved. Would you please come tonight, make your way, make eye contact with me, squeeze through the crowd, and just let me know, I need to get saved. Would you do that? Some of you said, I'm saved, but you weren't. You were lying. You know it. You need to get saved. Why don't you come tonight and trust Christ as your Savior? If you can't get to me, make eye contact with me. I'll know that you need to get saved. How about you? How about you? How many here tonight? How many said, Brother Stone, I'm saved. I've been saved for a long time. I'm not really doing anything for Christ. Of those of you that are still sitting in your seat, I'm not really doing anything for Christ. I know that I need to teach or preach or something. God's convicted me about that. Would you come tonight if you're still sitting there? And also tonight, I'm speaking to you too. This isn't just for the kids. If you need to come tonight, you come. You come. You've been going to church a long time. Maybe your kids aren't serving because you're not serving. Maybe your kids aren't getting it because you're not getting it. Why don't you come? You're sitting in your seat tonight. Here's what you're saying to me. Listen. Here's what you're saying. I'm not dull of hearing. I hear every word you're saying. I've heard every word that God has said to me this week, and I've responded. If you haven't, why don't you come? Why don't you come? That's what you're saying. If that's not what you're saying, then you need to come and say, God, I'm listening. Some of you need to come and just say, God, I'm listening. Tell me. Tell me what you want. Show me, I don't know. You come. If the center's clogged up, you don't have to go back to your exact same seat. You can just get to a closed seat tonight. We won't be long. If you're not saved, I'm begging you, please come. Please come. Please come and let someone take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Please. Are you listening? Can you hear me now? Can you hear the Holy Spirit of God? Can you hear the voice of God in your ear, in your heart?